Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 3rd of March, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Is it? I haven't checked.
I can tell you from the future. It's okay.
Oh, that's good news. So, let's see here. Charlotte, I'd like to start with you and an interesting article that you've sort of been keeping watch on over the last year as we come up on a year of COVID pandemic and also a year of Apple's response to said pandemic.
Yeah. So back in, what was it? I think I did it originally kind of June, in the summertime, when it was kind of, we were 6 months, 3 months, mm-hmm. 6 months, depending quite how you want to count the time frame. We were a chunk of months in mm-hmm. to most of the entire world being aware of COVID-19 and dealing with the effects of it. And by that point, it was clear, and perhaps we should have expected this, but Apple was quite a key part of the global response mm-hmm. for various reasons, namely being in people's pockets and having money.
yes.
But ultimately, that's what it boils down to. But it has been quite proactive in its response. And mm-hmm. it's worth, as you say, reflect kind of for us in the UK and the US, get towards a year of it. I think it's worth reflecting. So I updated that piece today. And I think the themes have continued mm-hmm. in terms of it's been the huge initial focus was on contact tracing. But it's also done things like producing PPE, distributing PPE, using its supply advanced manufacturing program to do those things.
And that was sort of the first move, right? Because initially there was a whole lot of PPE is awesome and what we have is insufficient, like we don't have enough, or what we have is not useful in some way. And like one of the first things Apple did was roll out the manufacturing effort on that, and also for their own, for people in their own stores too. They had built some of that.
Yeah, and it, I remember, I think Andrew found this, didn't you? You got hold of, they published the way to make face masks online, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Right. So that was one of the first things. They start use their massive manufacturing resources for things like the blueprint Andrew reported on of finding a face mask. And then as it became clear this was we were in it for the long haul.
Yes.
These efforts have ramped up. So mm-hmm. most recently it initially awarded $10 million from its Advanced Manufacturing Fund to Copen Diagnostics to produce face shields, face masks, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then in February, just last month, we learned that Apple and Copen had come together and we produced COVID-19 tests, and they had actually put out 15 million sample collection kits across the US. Mm-hmm. So just, and that's just one part of it. There's things like donating, well, we're on the PPE theme, donating PPE to Zambia to help the country's health ministry there fight both COVID-19 and HIV. Mm-hmm. On the similar theme, Product Red resources are going basically, all the funds from Product Red are going to fighting COVID-19 until June this year.
Yeah.
So that it's not just, like the thing we initially think about is Apple, Google, COVID-19 exposure notifications, and we can dig into that if you want, because that's been probably the main part of the story, but there is other stuff too.
Yeah, and I do want to dig into that a little bit, because that was probably, that was probably the newsiest piece of the whole thing was Apple and Google, whatever their feelings about each other, emotionally, philosophically, whatever. Apple's developers and Google's developers teamed up to build something that's part of the operating system on both devices so that you can turn on exposure tracking. And we've talked about it here. We've talked about it, I think, as part of Security Friday at one point. We dug into it a little bit to explain like what the privacy situation is with it. You're not broadcasting your name to anybody. If you tell your phone that you've tested positive for COVID, it's not like everyone else's phone is going to say, hey, Kelly has COVID and this is her address and, you know, go shame her or anything like that. You know, none of that is what was happening with the exposure tracking. So that team up seems like the newsiest piece. You know, we sort of, I won't say expected, but weren't surprised by the fact that Apple was able to sort of steer their massive manufacturing capability into something else. It was interesting that they did, and they were one of the first larger companies to just decide to do it without being directed by a government agency or something to do this. They just sort of stepped up and did. So that piece of it is pretty interesting. But I think the most surprising thing was Apple and Google got together so that if it's available where you live, you can go into your settings and turn on exposure tracking and use that. So,
yeah,
that part I think is pretty notable.
I remember when that news came through, the three of us going, oh, damn.
Yes. Apple and Google teamed up on a thing and nobody's mad about it, and everybody is just saying, this is here it is, here's how it works, here you go.
Well, and there was obviously an interesting thing for me in the UK, that initially the government here tried to do it, go a different way, mm-hmm. tried to not use, and there were a variety of issues with that, which we don't need to go into on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was taking Apple and Google a bit of time, as inevitably it does. So this mm-hmm. government kind of went, well, we're going to try this other thing. It didn't work. And eventually they came around to using the Apple and Google system, which is a good thing ultimately. But yep. it the perspective on that also, I think the point I'm trying to make is that it just kind of depends on where you are. And, you know, I don't know, do both your states now have the system and app in place?
We do, yeah, in Michigan.
We do not in Oregon. Yeah. No comment. yeah, I would very much like to. It does not seem like a complicated thing to implement from developers I've spoken with who have worked on it. It doesn't seem hard. So, you know, they made it as easy as possible to be a thing that you could use. And there's still a number of places that are not. So, yeah, great.
So I also think it's worth pointing out, given what you've just said, that with iOS 13.7, things adjusted a bit as well, that you didn't actually even need an app.
Mm-hmm.
You could just have the state, again, it was dependent on the health authority.
Yes.
But it could just say, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, we don't have the whatever. We don't want to build an app in and of itself, but the way COVID exposure notifications have been updated in the iPhone means mm-hmm. you can still get notifications direct from the phone.
Yes.
This was always in the second part of the plan, and it mm-hmm. now does work on a device level. So that's yeah. also worth remembering. Another thing, particularly if you have maybe older relatives who have older devices, Apple released iOS 12.5.1.
Mm-hmm.
And that fixed exposure notifications on older devices, so the 5S, the 6, and the 6 Plus.
Yeah.
So don't think, oh, because I haven't got the latest iPhone,
right,
I can't use this.
Right. If you don't have the latest phone or the latest operating system, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And somebody at Apple has made that calculation of, like, this is now, you know, 90-something percent of all devices are from here up, and, you know, of what we've seen. So I assume it's a high 90s number, you know, that they've got there. But that's
also like
that update was to make that reality.
If you've got like an iPhone 4 that's still standing, respect to you.
Yeah. If you do, observations@macobserver.com, I'd really like to know what you're doing with it. Just because I'm curious. So before we dig into other Apple Health news, because we have more to discuss, I would like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is She's Birdie, and they make a product called Birdie. And Birdie is a personal safety alarm, and it's meant to be easy to carry and easy to use, which it is. I have one. I've tried it out. And there's a little ring in the top, and you pull the ring out of the top of it, and it sort of pulls the pin on a 130 decibel alarm and a very, very bright strobe light. I don't have a way to express to you how bright and how loud this is. So it's going to draw a lot of attention. And if you're in a situation where you need to use this alarm, you definitely want to make sure you're drawing attention, and this will do the job. It's not like pepper spray where maybe you spray it at somebody, but it can blow back in your face and sort of, you know, make your situation worse as well. You don't have to worry about any of that. It comes in a few different colors. They're all pretty nice colors, and it's got a nice keychain that you can use to attach it to your keys or clip it to your bag. It's also very small and very convenient to use. So it's kind of the shape of like the little, I think they call them lipstick batteries that you can get for your phone, like the little 5,000 milliamp that you can use, the little square ones that you can use to charge your phone. It kind of looks like that. So it doesn't look like I am a weapon, you know, or anything like that. So it's pretty non-distinct. You know, when you use it, it doesn't look, when you have it on your keys or whatever, it doesn't look like a big deal. And if you want to get in on this, She's Birdie is offering my listeners 15% off your first purchase. So if you go to shesbirdie.com/TDO, that's shesbirdie.com/TDO, you get 15% off your first order at shesbirdie.com/TDO. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, Andrew, you have a story that you've written about another thing that Apple is doing, and this is also with health data, and this is about the hearing study.
Yes. So Apple had partnered with the University of Michigan School of Public Health on a hearing study. They don't really say how many participants were doing this. I think they use the word thousands. And this study is, it's one of the things that is used with Apple's research kit, which is baked into Apple devices. And all you have to do to participate is download this hearing app. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they said yesterday was World Hearing Day, so they kind of timed that release with this.
Okay.
So they did share a bunch of statistics so far about what they found, and I'll share a couple of them that I think is interesting. So
yeah,
it sounds like a lot of the people who are in this study, they already have hearing issues.
Okay.
And these the study just wants to, I think, examine that more closely. So they say 25, almost half of participants now work currently or have previously worked in a loud workplace. Environmental sound exposure seems to be one of the main features of the study. They say 25 of participants experience a daily average environmental sound exposure, and that includes traffic, machinery, public transport, so on and so forth. That is higher than the WHO recommended limit, because they are also sharing this data with WHO. And so Rick Neitzel, an associate professor at the School of Public Health, he says, even during this pandemic, when many people are staying home, we're still seeing 25% of them experiencing this high environmental sound exposure. So I thought that was an interesting part of this.
Yeah, especially when you think about how, you know, the general perception is everybody just started working from home. And so now everybody's house is really loud. Like part of what I thought was interesting about this was I feel like it was good news that average weekly headphone exposure for only 1 out of 10 participants is higher than the recommended limit. Mm-hmm. From the World Health Organization. So that seemed good.
And it's nice that Apple, maybe they released this with iOS 14, where they do give headphone exposure like safety limits in the health app, mm-hmm. which I don't know if it works with maybe just AirPods or all headphones. I'm assuming it's all. I just have regular AirPods. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can go in there and check it, and it'll just give you a range of the sound levels and decibels that you've exposed to. And it can tell you if maybe you're getting into the more dangerous levels.
Mm-hmm. And I think this also ties into, I'm not going to remember, I want to say it was either Series 3 or Series 4 where, because I have it on Series 4, but I don't remember if it's new, the noise app on your watch, which will alert you if it's very loud where you are, which is handy. The last concert I went to, though, my watch was very disappointed in me. It was very loud. I did have earplugs, but it was very loud. And that was, so, like, that's a thing that I have noticed that I use on mine is I do have the noise app, I guess, activated. And it does, and like all of the other stuff that's sort of health related on the watch and on the phone, it tells you, like, you know, this is not medical. This is just sort of as a point of reference for you. Like, we're just giving you information. What you do with it is up to you. We're not telling you you're going deaf. You know, just like the heart rate thing says, like, we're not telling you you have a heart attack. We're just giving you information. And I like their approach with that. Like, they make it very, very clear that that's what they're doing. I mean, it's helpful for a lot of people. Like, we hear these stories all the time. But it's interesting that I feel like they've got the tone right with the way that they do it. So, thing I appreciate.
I think you've hit on quite a good general theme about all the stuff we've talked about today. Actually, like the way Apple approaches health is to be, we're really good for your, all our devices really help you improve your health, but we are absolutely not a medical device. Speak to our lawyers if you think we're a medical device.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it makes complete sense. Apple is a technology company. It's a big corporate company. It does not want to even pretend it is dispensing medical advice. I could mention on the Apple Watch now, it counts washing your hands for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but it never explicitly says wash your hands for 20 seconds to help stop the spread of COVID-19.
Right.
But we all know why that feature was introduced, although I think Apple claimed that it had not, it was a coincidental thing that came out right as people were becoming conscious of this. But anyway, but in general, Apple is like, this is just for guidance, speak to medical professionals. Our devices help you get to medical professionals quicker. We are not medical professionals. We're not medical professionals.
Right. And in fact, Charlotte, you wrote up another place where Apple had to make it abundantly clear that they were not medical professionals because Australia is now going to get ECG options on their Apple Watch, right?
Yeah, it looks like that feature is on its way down under. It's apparently it's been approved over there, and so that was actually last month it got approved, some point in February, so you can expect that imminently.
Yeah.
And if you are an Aussie listener,
and it's basically like they're just using software to enable the hardware that's already in the watch, so it's just a matter of sort of offering access to that particular sensor if you want to use the ECG.
Yeah, but I think it requires all these things require. So, for example, I don't have it on my... is it available in the UK? I have an SE, so actually I wouldn't have it anyway. I'm not sure that feature is available. Actually, I don't want to say that because I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But it's not... The general point is that it is not available in every country because I think it has to go through health authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next place on that list is clearly Australia.
Yeah, it does take approval. That's part of why we heard about it before it was actually released, was because people were watching approvals, like FDA, I think, is who has to do that, approvals, and like whoever it was that allowed for that to happen in the US. Like, we saw some of those approvals go through and saw that Apple was doing something additional with the watch, so that was kind of interesting. As usual, I'm interested to see where it goes. Andrew, are you using any of the health features on your phone? Because I know you're not a watch wearer yet.
I don't. Once in a while, I will remember to check into the health app just to see what's going on. I do have that hearing data front and center, because you can. It's nice that in the health app, you can sort of favorite things so that they appear on the very front page. And the last time I checked it, if I remember right, my hearing numbers looked within the normal range.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
mine is generally normal. My house is more or less pretty quiet. during the day while I'm sitting here working. So I don't see a lot of that. Like I said, the last time it got worked up was the last time I went to a concert. And my watch was very concerned about that. And now I'm just sad that was the last show that I went to. But, you know, here we are. That's going to do it for us today. If you have questions about the health app or about health data and you want to know more or have us talk about it, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Thanks to Andrew and Charlotte for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.